Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Donna, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, it's Friday, and it's a day when we're sort of getting ready to relax, and I know just a moment ago we had a storm go through where I am that looked like a hurricane. It was just phenomenal, and just as quickly it passed. And as we were getting ready for the show, I thought, isn't that the way life is? Sometimes we get bombarded with situations that just seem to be absolutely overwhelming, and then they pass by. But the storms of life, the challenges of life, are always there for us to experience on one level or another. My guest today is Betty Tisdale. She has just come back from Vietnam. Betty has a fascinating story that we're going to share with you. But also, I'd like you to have a pad of paper and a pen handy, because I think as we go along during the interview, you're going to want to know how to reach this great lady, because she is in her 80s, and she has been involved with a very special mission, making this world a better place in her own special way. Betty, you're in Seattle. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you.
Well, I know you were a little bit concerned about doing the show today because you just got in from Vietnam. Was it yesterday?
Last night.
Last night, and you were feeling a little bit under the weather, but you're sounding good, and I'm so delighted you're able to join with us and to talk with us about this wonderful project, HALO, H-A-L-O, that you're so much involved with. Betty, tell us how this journey of life that you have been experiencing, how it all got started. What is it that Betty Tisdale decided was going to be a lifelong dedication?
Well, I think I guess it goes back to when I was inspired by reading a book written by Dr. Tom Dooley, and that was in 59 or 60. And after I met him, I knew that my life had changed. And unfortunately, Dr. Dooley died one day after his 34th birthday in 1961. And there was no one at that time to take over his work. And since I wasn't a nurse and I wasn't a doctor, I didn't really know what to do except to maybe try to raise money. And then I made a trip to Vietnam, and that did it.
Well, let's talk about Dr. Thomas Anthony Dooley, because this is a man that I can recall hearing about when I was a little girl.
I know,
and
I know.
There were stories that were written about his courageous work, and this is a man that I do think needs to be remembered and needs to be honored. He was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and he was involved in the St. Louis University School of Medicine in the 50s, and then he joined the Navy and was assigned to the Navy Hospital at Camp Pendleton, and in 54, he went as a medical officer aboard the USS Montague and worked in the evacuation of Haiphong. Now, for some of my listeners who are very young, that may not be something that you're familiar with. I know I wasn't, but he witnessed the suffering of more than 600,000 refugees from North to South Vietnam.
Exactly.
And he was appalled by the lack of medical care, and he decided to return there after he got out of the Navy to set up small clinics and hospitals, and he did do a lot of this, but as Betty said, he became very ill with malignant melanoma, but he worked up until his death, and he inspired not just people like Betty, but many other medical professionals to continue to be involved. Now, Betty, when you first did this, when you first started out with this, what was your first trip like? Because I know Vietnam has changed a great deal, but let's see, when was your first trip?
My first trip was in December of 1961, and it was an eye-opener, really, because I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then moved to New York City, so I'm a big city girl. Actually, even when I got back today, I realized the heat over there is unbearable as far as I'm concerned. But it was so hot, and I didn't have a place to stay. I finally got a room with a Vietnamese family, and I went to the orphanage. And these children were the children of Tom Dooley's day. And I thought, you know, I can't leave them. But I had to come back to my job, and when I came back, I was working for a big steel company. And I said to a friend of mine, when I was showing my slides, at that time I had slides and so on, and I said, you know, I'm going to quit my job and go back to Vietnam and help these children. And she said, well, what would you do? And I said, well, you know, I could hold them and I could feed them and give them lots of love. And she said, well, from the pictures that I brought back, it looked like they needed more than lots of love and holding. They needed food and they needed, you know, medicine and so on. She said, maybe it would be better if you quit your job at U.S. Steel. That's okay. But get a better job that could help all these children. And at that time, I was living in New York City. I'd been transferred by U.S. Steel. And she said, Senator Javits was looking for a secretary. And I said, oh, but you know, that's working for the government, and I'd be getting the stock plan and the vacation plan and so on. She said, but he knows some powerful people. So that got me, and I got the job. And I had that until I left. And he was absolutely wonderful. First, I didn't know what was going on, naturally. But he was in Washington, and I was in New York.
And so that was the beginning.
That was the beginning. And she thought that it would be better if I made visits to the orphanage and came back and talked to people, told them what I saw, and perhaps that would be better than me working over there, since I wasn't a nurse and I wasn't a doctor, and I could just, you know, hold the babies, but that's it. So it turned out very, very well with me, for me and the babies.
Now, one of the things that you did, you established Anlac Orphanage, Inc. with Norman Cousins. And, my goodness, he is such an incredibly well-known man.
Oh, I know.
And how did you manage to interact
well,
with
you
him?
Know, Norman Cousins was a friend of Dr. Dooley. And so I contacted him as my honorary chairman. My honorary chairman is today is Cindy McCain. And it's just the name, I think, that draws people, because Norman Cousins really, I had lunch with him several times, but I have only seen Cindy McCain once, but she is such a wonderful person, goes to Vietnam, goes to India, places like that, that a lot of people don't know about her.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that you did, of course, you got married, you ended up having 5 children of your own, and you met your husband.
Yeah.
And you met him actually in Vietnam.
No, not Norman Cousins, no.
No, your husband.
My husband, yes. Well, he was the head of the 120, well, he was head of the 1st Infantry Division Medical Battalion. And he used to come to the orphanage a couple times a week and bring his corpsmen. And they would examine the children and, you know, give advice and so on. So they were a godsend to the children because they were actual doctors and even nurses.
Now, you and your husband ended up adopting you. You had 5 boys. Then you also have 5 children that you adopted from Vietnam. You brought them over here. They are part of
family. Well, I was married like 7 months, and I said, you know, I don't want any more boys. I've got to get some girls. So we went back to Vietnam, and I got 2 more. So I had 7 children in 7 months.
Wow.
And then the next year and the year after, I got the others.
Amazing. Now, you were right on the front with a lot of activity that was going on in Vietnam in April 1995. The war was about 12 miles from Saigon, and you, along with a woman by the name of Ina Balin, who is an actress and a board member for the orphanage and a doctor, you evacuated 219 orphans from the Anlac Orphanage and you were able after a while to get another, the directress of the orphanage and her two assistants out of Saigon, and they actually came over and lived with you. Now, the 219 children, where were they? Where did they go?
Well, I didn't know what to do. You know, I was one of these, I'll go ahead and do it, and then everything falls into place. And I believe in believing in the future and so on. So before I left, I was living in Columbus, Georgia, and Fort Benning was close by. And I decided, well, they have empty barracks there. Why can't I just get some of those barracks? You know, my taxes are paying for that at Fort mm-hmm. Benning. So I called the general to see whether I would be able to use one of the barracks when I brought the children. I thought I was going to get 400, and he never returned my call. So then I decided to call Secretary of the Army, Bo Calloway, in Washington, D.C., and he never returned my call. So this is the clincher. I called his mother. And Mrs. Calloway, they live in Georgia and so on, and
she was
so sweet. She said, "Betty, I've heard you on TV." She said, "I want to help you. I'll do the best I can." And I said, "Well, I'm going to leave this in your hands because I'm going to leave tomorrow for Vietnam." And I did. And she apparently got to the right people, like her son and whoever else. And we got a school at Fort Benning where they redid the thing by putting sinks in all the rooms, and Penny's gave us the cribs and so on. And when I arrived, it was all set up to receive all the children. It was wonderful.
Amazing. I mean, it just shows how things will fall into place, but also how knowing the right people to call, like mother, makes
well,
a difference.
I tell everyone
that.
There, I said, you know, don't discount that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you have to use your own brains and see what you can do.
Now, Betty, you have been on television a great deal. You've been on, you know, USA Today. You've been in all kinds of publications, the NBC Today Show. You've been interviewed in Saigon. This has been such a passion for you all of these many years. And here you are now in your 80s. You're flying over to Vietnam. You just got back last night. What is happening now? Because your organization has been going strong for a good deal of time. You've gotten all kinds of awards. What happened on this last trip? How have things changed? What are the challenges that are in front of you today?
Well, what I've tried to do in Vietnam now, they do have quite a few orphanages. The government has a hand in all of that. That's fine. But I go to the Central Park or the Southern Park of Vietnam, where they have what they call ethnic minorities. It's a nice name for the people who helped our soldiers during the war. And they were sort of left, like our American Indians. And what they're doing is they put several of these tribes together, and they're helping them. But what I do is a little extra. I provided computers for them, put in bathrooms at the orphanages, help them buy pigs, which is a great thing in a country like Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have little pigs and piglets and so on. And I've seen a lot of progress, and it's wonderful. And these are people that are not helped by a lot of other people. They're not government orphanages, although the government does control seeing that the children go to school. But they go to a certain extent, and then that's it. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing much left to work, except maybe in the tea plantations and so on, where maybe their parents make $20 or $30 a month. So what I do is I'm trying now to give them another jump, like into computers, which it took me a long while. In fact, I'm not still really very good at doing documents or attachments and stuff like that, but still, these kids are getting a start on the future, because that is the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, for those of you who are listening, you need to know that Betty Tisdale has been awarded all kinds of honors, including the Presidential Commendation and Recognition of Exceptional Service to Others. She received the Medal of Honor from the Daughters of the American Revolution and an award, special award, by the government of South Vietnam for humanitarianism. You've also received the International Service of Mankind Award by the Sertoma Club, and the mayor of Seattle in 1999 proclaimed September the 15th as Betty Tisdale Day, which is something that not many people can say. They have.
I still have to do my own house cleaning.
I understand that one. But, Betty, you have on your website, and people can just type in Betty Tisdale, T-I-S-D-A-L-E, and they'll find your website, which is just beautiful. On your website, you have a list of information, and you have many points of information, but you talk about if people want to help out the supplies that are needed. And I know before you went on this trip to Vietnam, this last trip, you had some challenges, and you were able to beat those challenges. Tell us what happened on this particular trip.
Well, first of all, I'm only allowed 50 pounds for each bag. And one of the doctors over in Vietnam asked me to bring hand sanitizer. And when I picked up that bag, that weighed 23 pounds right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so many other things. And there was a group, the Giving Circle in Seattle here, who got together. They brought clothes, they brought school supplies, they brought hand sanitizers, and I even had to buy Desitin, the diaper ointment for the babies that have HIV over there. So I was sort of way overweight, and through a friend of a friend, and I think Mary Ellen, I was able to get to Delta, and they okayed extra baggage. Unfortunately, when I got to the airport, I'm on Korean Airlines, and Korean Airlines said, well, that's Delta. We can't do anything about that. But I said, it's in their computer. So she took me over to the Delta desk, and the Delta said, well, I'm sorry, but we can't do anything about that. That's Korean Airlines. So I wasn't allowed any extra baggage. So the one bag weighed 73 pounds, and she wanted $300 and some, and I just there with the tears in my eyes, and I said, I don't have that much money. And she was a Korean girl, very nicely, and I said, this is all for children. I only have one small bag for myself. So she looked at it, and she said, would you pay $50? And I said, oh, I'd be happy to put it on my Visa. And I got it all through for $50. But neither airline would take, you know, a charge of the extra. And I know that United Airlines allows me extra luggage, too, because coming back I have less. I don't have anything. So it's the airlines that you have to get to, and I always travel on miles. And my son gave me enough miles to travel business class, but they didn't have business class open. And yet coming back, on my flight coming back from Korea, there was no one, one person, sitting in business class. I guess they will not use it for miles. They'll use it, you know, if you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, that's that. I went to Afghanistan a couple years ago, and I really didn't have any trouble.
Well, things have changed so much since different events have evolved. And, of course, with all of the energy concerns, a lot of things change relative to weight with luggage. So you have a whole different agenda now that you have to look at.
But oh, I know.
Those of you that might be interested.
And, of course, going to Afghanistan is a challenge, but there the need is so great, so great.
Mm-hmm.
The orphanage, or it's not actually an orphanage, it's an organization that I help. I found a building, and we rebuilt the building with money from here, and then they've got money now to furnish it. And it's going to be a vocational school, but they have no way of children to find anything or to do anything after, you know, grade school. And, of course, their mothers can't work. It's a situation for females over there. But we have our soldiers there, and I'm using an APO number to get things over.
Now, on your site, you say that you're seeking certain items to help the organization accomplish its goals, and you say you can help by either donating these items yourself, providing the financial means for us to purchase the items, or by directing your friends, relatives, and neighbors to our organization. And again, you can just type in Betty Tisdale, T-I-S-D-A-L-E. You're always interested in airline mileage, athletic supplies, school supplies, diapers, formula, first aid supplies, and you talk about Dooley kits. What are those Dooley kits?
Oh, the Dooley kits that started with Dr. Tom Dooley. That's a sweet, sweet thing. Children in school can get cloth bags, and we used to get them made by retirement communities with a drawstring. And then they would collect toothbrush, toothpaste, hair, combs, brushes, a toy, pens, pencils, pads, anything that children would like that they could call their own. Soap, shampoo, and so on. And I've gone to orphanages where they have them hung right next to their, where they're sleeping and so on. It's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Madame Nye handing one to each child that got on the airplane that came to the States in 1975. Each one had their Dooley kit.
You say that you have 200 bags that you like to fill, and you say that candy can be sent. The kids really enjoy a sweet treat because they don't have
it. Well, hard candy. We can do the hard candy.
Yeah, the hard candy because you don't want it soft or anything that could melt. Again, it's very, very warm over there. There are school art supplies, that's pens, pencils, crayons, notepads, mini journals, stickers, toys, cars, trucks, dolls, bouncy balls, tops, jacks, jewelry, yo-yos, anything that is not metal. Now, that's very important. Anything that is not metal and that children would enjoy. And again, going over the toiletries.
You know what they love? They love those Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies.
Well,
Beanie
Babies are small, soft, and can fit in there.
Yeah, and it's portable. It's lightweight, and they can carry it somewhere. Also, you're interested in blankets, sheets, towels, vitamins, antibiotics, 42-cent stamps. You're also interested if people would like to have you as a speaker and also help with public relations, the newspapers, radio, and television.
That's what I need most. There was a nice write-up in the Vietnamese paper when I went over there. I don't even have copies made yet. But, and the other thing is, I have a lovely camera that my children gave me, but it's big. And I'd like one of those little cameras, you know, that you can hold in the palm of your hand
mm-hmm.
and that does so much. A man that took me up to Khartoum, his little camera even does videos, which I thought was nice. So,
mm-hmm.
That's the next on my list for somebody who has lots of money or has an extra one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've heard her request. It's there. Now, Betty, I also wanted, and the mail to Afghanistan can be sent via APO, that's the Army Post Office, and you send it to Norm Litterini.
No, he's already moved out.
Okay.
So the person that you would send to, the last name is Gustafson, G-U-S. T-A-V, like victory, S-O-N.
Is that Marnie?
That's her last name.
Okay, so Marnie has taken his place then.
Marnie Gustafson, Parsa, APO, AE, 09356.
That's wonderful. And would they put on Halo on there?
They can,
They can put Halo on, but that is where you send it. Marnie Gustafson, G-U-S-T-A-V,
right.
S-O-N, Parsa, P like Paul, A-R-S-A. And those letters are in caps, APO 09356.
It's APO AE.
Okay, that's not there on your site. Okay, APO AE goes in there.
Yes.
All right. 0935.
That means it goes through Europe, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you for correcting me. Now, one of the things that I think is important for people to know is that in these many years, that you have been involved with this, a lot has been accomplished. And you, by yourself, just by your own motivation, that have been an inspiration for so many people. Because of you, there has been the development of clean water for the Dakia Leper Village.
Yes.
In Kabul, which we all hear quite a bit about. Physical therapy clinic has gone up. Also in Kabul, there is the Golgarzo Orphanage, and you've been...
That orphanage is not around anymore. I don't know what happened to that. So I'm specializing mostly in another orphanage. It's Allahuddin, and I don't know whether it's in there or not. It's Allahuddin.
Well, there's been an annex built. There's been nurseries, vocational school that you just mentioned that it's coming up. There's just so much there on her website that you can find out about what has been accomplished. So this lady's dedication has just been phenomenal. Now, with your own children, Betty, are they involved in this with you?
Yes. My daughter, Tuvon, lives in Jacksonville, Florida, is my vice president. And she went, she's been to Vietnam twice now and is expecting her third child at the end of April. And my daughter, Kim Lan, is our secretary. And the rest of them do as I tell them. Or they offer whatever, like my son Sean gave me the miles this time.
Mm-hmm.
And other of the boys always, my sons do an awful lot. They become very successful. And my daughters do here. My grandchildren now help by doing, you know, having car washes or whatever in their school.
Now, your organization, HALO, has also been very much involved with disabled children in Bogota. You are also in Colombia. You are involved with an orphanage in Mexico. You've
yes.
also, you know, you just have decided not to just make it one area, Vietnam. It has grown. Did you, in your wildest dreams, ever imagine it would reach?
I had no idea. You know, it just happens that when I see children or I'm talking to someone who tells me about this orphanage in Bogota, I go down there. I go and I see it. And when I see it, and I see children that are there from the very beginning of the time I went down, and will be there until they die, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so much in need there. But the girl that handles that for me lives in Greenwich, Connecticut, and it's quite an affluent area. So I leave that up to her. She just got back. But I've got two little girls that I've been following for years that have a terrible disease that they will die of. Their mother did. And they're wrapped every day in saran wrap. So that the regular bandages are too rough for them, and it's enough to make I cry every time I see them.
You have seen a lot more than many of us have, Betty, and yet here you are in your 80s and you're still going strong.
Well, you know, for a long time, Donna, I never told anybody how old I was.
Well, I think you
but
should.
But now I think, you know, a lot of people wonder, you know, I don't want to go to any retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to stay here. All of the everything that I do for HALO is I do it. We don't take any money that's raised for paper. I get paper from my daughter's office and things like that. So, and my son gave me my computer. I just live on donations. Of things for HALO, and the rest of it is Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need much anymore.
Well, Betty, you're an inspiration, I think, to all of us. I know I talked with you about 7 years ago when I had just pretty much started out with my show, and I knew how much you had accomplished then. You're a woman that's inspirational in that you're not letting any labels stop you. You're still out there. You're still doing. You're still flying. You're still involved. You have motivated and stimulated other people. Where would you like for this to go? And I know we've just got about a minute here.
Well, it's my address. Well, you can find my address on the website, but a lot of people don't have computers. So it's 2416 2nd Avenue North, Seattle, Washington, 98109. HALO. And my mailman, I just want to tell you, at Christmas I give him $10. You know what he gave? $50 to HALO. My
incredible.
Mailman.
That's incredible. Well, Betty, again, you're an inspiration to all of us to show.
And I'm happy to come home to my cat, Connor.
I bet. I bet. I can imagine. And it's a lot cooler here, too. My guest today has been Betty Tisdale. Her wonderful organization is HALO. go to her website, check it out. You will find information on there that's really quite awesome. One person can make a difference. Betty Tisdale, just like you, is one of those people. Betty, thank you for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Northwest Hospital and Medical Center, is a show that's all about you, with 500 exhibits, free seminars, free samples, fashion shows, Gilles Marini from this season's Dancing with the Stars, and Dr. Lisa Masterson from the hit show The Doctors, plus shopping with great women's show specials, March 27th through 29th at Questfield Event Center. Show information at nwwomensshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTemp Health Shoes. These funky looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill, you'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone numbers to call in to, toll-free, 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. Worldwide, 888-815-9756, that's 888-815-9756. Remember, if you've our first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or initial. After that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Also, the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is coming up, and in 1 week, yes, this same time next week, I am going to be on stage. Yes, we'll be having the Donna Sebo show, but regrettably, we won't be able to do it on the air. We're going to have a Best of Donna next Friday, but I'm going to be interviewing five wonderful women. We're going to be talking about education, small business loans for that woman that wants to be in business. We're going to be talking about how to be well, happy, sassy at any age. Also, how to manage assets. Hey, if you don't have any, look big. Think big. You can have some. How do you work with them? How do you make them work for you? And then we're going to be talking about relationships from breakups to wake-ups. Yes, we're going to have a dynamic time. Wonderful, wonderful women. This is being held in Seattle, Washington. It's a 3-day event, the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th. I'm going to be there the whole weekend. I'm in booth number 407. I'll be doing many consultations. I'm going to have scads of books available, all kinds of wonderful things we're going to be doing drawings about. But also, on that Friday, I'm going to be having the one-on-one interaction. So if you're in the Pacific Northwest area and you can come on by, do say hello. I'd love to meet you. And if you have any questions, give me a call at 800-872-8852, and I'll fill you in on the show and anything else you may need to know. Now, today, what I'd like to do is cover the subject of money a little bit. Boy, things are flying hot and heavy. Can't miss all kinds of stuff that's going on. So I want to share some of that with you if I have the opportunity today. Also, this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But first, we're going to go to this caller today. I want to welcome you to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hello, Donna. My name is Frank. I'm calling from California.
Hi, Frank. Where in California?
In Ontario.
In Ontario. Beautiful place. All right, Frank, let's get down to business with you right off the bat. I think you're going to really have to pay attention to detail. Now, right now, you feel you're sort of on overload. You're trying to catch up. I don't know if it's taxes or what else. And then you're just saying, I feel like I've got so many loose ends around me that I wish I could just be cloistered for a while so I could take care of it. Well, regrettably, your schedule is going to be pretty hectic, and you're not going to be able to have that cloister feel unless you plan for it. So if you can sort of lock yourself down and away from interruptions for maybe 2 hours out of the day, I think you're going to be able to really get a hold of these loose ends, pull them in, tie them down, so that you can have some breathing space. A lot is going on with you. This is not going to be a lazy, easygoing year. No chance. You've had a little bit of a quiet phase. You felt sort of as if you've been in a sluggish mode. You just are creeping along and getting a little bit of this done, a little bit of that done. Hang tough, because you're going to be able to get a heck of a lot more done, but you must take care of some of these loose ends that are around you so that you can have that elbow room, so to speak, and then move forward rapidly. Also, you're going to discover that being computer savvy, which everybody knows they need to be, but you're going to find there's some sophisticated software that's really going to serve you well. And this looks like it's in a portable unit. So portability for you is absolutely necessary, and you've got to make sure that whatever you have, you've got a good backup system to it, a good backup battery that's got a long life to it, whatever it takes, because that portability is going to make it easy for you to do what you need to do and keep the communications going that you need to have. There is a recycling of some old stuff that you might have in your environment, and I want to say if you don't have the time to sell it, give it away. Use it as a tax write-off. Don't waste your time on things that really you don't want to give your time to. Stay focused, because you've got a big, big career jump that you're going to be making in about 9 to 12 months. So all of the energy that you put in, everything that you are clearing up and cleaning out of your space, you're going to be so glad you're doing that. You're going to be way ahead of the game if you just take little chunks of time and work with them so you can get done what needs to be done. What's on your mind? What would you like to ask me, Frank?
Yes, I was at a court date on the 17th of March, and it was continued to the 26th of March. And again, but both of those are eights. I would like to know what's going to transpire or what I need to look for.
You must be prepared. there is some kind of interaction and challenge that's going to go on. You said you had two court dates?
Yes, I just attended one of them. It was the 17th of March, and it was continued to the 26th of March.
All right. So you've got to be prepared. You cannot go into this environment without looking at more than one angle. You want to be sure that you have your materials ready. You assume nothing, because if you make assumptions, you're going to get sloppy about your preparation. Now, I have no idea what this is involving, but you must be prepared. No assumptions here. So look at worst-case scenario, look at best-case scenario, and what could go on in between. If you are prepared, I think what you are going to find is that there's something else that's going to be continued with this, but at least you will have a good, solid presentation and footing in what the objectives that you want to attain can be. I think there will be eventually a compromise of type, but I think you will have more going for you than what you might expect. But again, preparation is the key.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Good. Don't assume anything, and don't go by other people's concepts and ideas. You need someone to work with that can really tell you the dark side as well as the bright side.
And can you pick up other people's energy?
Well, I can pick up information, yes.
Okay. One of the persons which is on the other side is of the table is my brother Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
How does he feel, or is he going to show up at court?
Well, I don't think Anthony likes being in court at all. I think it overwhelms him. I would be surprised if he did not make it, because I think he's prepared to be there. But there is the concern, there's so much emotion that's going on inside of him that he honestly does not know his own feelings. So depending on who is going to be with him and how they interact with him, a lot can be contributing in what would not be such a positive way. What I would like for you to consider doing, again, do the preparation, assume nothing. Look at this as if this is business and handle it accordingly. But when you go in, do not have any thoughts of animosity. Don't let things get to you the way it's so often portrayed on television. Don't go into that thought mode. I want you to hold a good picture of balance and harmony for yourself as well as for all parties concerned. Now, this is a discipline in and of itself, but I think it will enable this to bridge some gaps that have been there. But again, you just do it quietly. You don't make a big deal out of it, and just sort of hold the positive thoughts there for yourself, but see harmony. And I think that'll work in your favor. You don't have to go in with blaring horns. You just have to go in prepared. If he does not choose to show up, it'll be because he's gotten so emotional about the whole situation that it's extremely uncomfortable for him.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's something you need to be aware of with your brother, that he internalizes a lot of his emotion. It's very difficult for him to speak out, and when he does, then he blurts. He doesn't necessarily think. He just blurts out what he has going through his head. And that is something that's been with him most of his life. And he just has not acquired the discipline and the self-confidence to go the other route. But he's a good person. He's not a bad person.
Yes, you're right. He is a very good person, but he gets persuaded by an influence from other people so
well,
easily.
And again, you just need to hold good thoughts about him and not have any animosity. Remember, this is extremely difficult for him.
Okay.
And if you understand that, but look at this as something, this is business, and we have to take care of business. No name calling, nothing. Be prepared.
And the person that influenced him is her name Linda. What is her energy?
Well, we're out of time. I have to go on break.
Okay.
But Frank, I thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You have a wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and if we have a chance, I'll chat with you about some money. Otherwise, give me a buzz if you'd like to talk to me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely healless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's our worldwide number. Either one will work for any of you in the United States. Also, I want to bring up the fact, not just about the Northwest Women's Show, which is a week from today, really excited about that, but also on April 25th, and I'm going to be giving you some more information regarding the class that I'm going to be doing in Tacoma, Washington. And in that class, its title is Mind Vision. And this is about powering up for this year, powering yourself up. You know, when we have tough times, it's often a good thing to invest in ourselves so we get a clear picture of what it is we want, where we want to go, what we want to see, and how we want to do things. And that's what this class is all about. And there's going to be a good portion also devoted to developing your own intuition, however it may operate within you. So if you'd like more information about the class, it's only going to be $95 for the class. It starts at 10 on Saturday, April 25th, or finish at 4 o'clock. And you're even going to get a lunch for that. And we just had a great time last year when we did this. So I invite you to give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. Starting next week, I will be giving you the contact information where you can make reservations. So we're getting everything pulled together for the women's show, so I'm going to wait a little bit until after all of that is done, finished, and in order so I can give you all the details about the class. Anyway, give me a buzz if you want a chance. If you want to talk with me, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Now, money. You cannot turn on the news today without hearing someone saying, this person's been laid off, this company's closing down, this and this and this is going on, and all kinds of stuff that if you listen to it, you're going to get sick to your stomach. You're going to be just living in fear. And for those of you that have been very diligent with savings and maybe saw your savings disappear, like some very good friends of mine that spent years in saving money, and then all of a sudden it just evaporated away, and they're back to square zero, so to speak. It gets to be very discouraging, but there's one thing that if you're willing to be that individual that is going to be resourceful, and you have assets, and you have money, and you want to protect it, you need to realize that banks, in some respects, are victims, and I know there's a lot of them that have been totally, totally without any sense of responsibility, the people that have been running it. But there was a money market fund. I did not know this. And last year, there was a money market fund. It's the oldest in the nation. It froze the cash of more than 400,000 customers. They couldn't get to it if they tried. 400,000 people for an extended period of time. And when you have this kind of a scenario going on, people may want to make a run on the bank. Well, just like with this particular money market fund, nobody could get to the money anyway. So you do have to pay attention to what you're doing with your money. And if you're a small business person, this is a big concern to you because you're going to wonder, what if something happens? I can't get to my cash in the bank. I may not be able to make my payroll. All kinds of things. Now, there's a woman by the name of Marilyn Holt. She's based out of Seattle. And she said, when it comes to the health of our financial institutions, we took a lot for granted in recent years because things were running nicely. Today, we're in enough people, so we have to be more vigilant. And to be aware, if you want to be in business in the coming years, you need to be conservative with money. So here are some steps that have been recommended. And for those of you listening, you just realize whether you're in business, whether you're an independent individual, all of this is going to be, I think, important. One, put your money in an FDIC-protected bank. Now, what does that mean? That means it's insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Now, there is a major group out of Los Angeles that says it's the best idea when safety and security of your working capital is paramount. Why? Because this is a federal agency that will protect you against the loss of your deposit account if your bank should fail. Now, you're not going to make very much on interest. If you're not a high-risk person, it's just not going to be there for you. But many, many times, people, when they're in business, want to take their working capital and put it somewhere where it's going to get better returns, and they may look at money market funds and stock or bond funds. But you want to be sure, if you want capital, if you want cash, you need to remind yourself that the higher the return, the greater risk there is in working with it. So, safety first. Is your business bank, is your bank insured by the FDIC? If so, you're okay, check it out. And you want to be able to use accounts that are eligible for FDIC protection. And this is something that many of you may not know. The FDIC covers only certain types of accounts. The three most common ones are checking, savings, and certificates of deposits, your CDs. Also covered is the money market deposit account. Do not confuse your money market deposit account with another account called the money market mutual fund. That fund, the money market mutual fund, is not eligible for FDIC insurance. So you just need to be aware of those subtle things, and it's too easy for a lot of people to confuse it. Now, remember, you want to stay aware of the coverage there, and you want to stay below the coverage limit. A lot of people were made aware of the fact that in 2008, the FDIC increased the limit of coverage and protection from $100,000 to $250,000 for each depositor at each insured bank. Now, that's only lasting until 2009. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be $100,000 only. So if you have an abundance of money, be grateful, but divide it up among several banks. And even though they're going to provide you, they say, with $250,000 coverage, you need to keep the money in separate banks. And remember, in 2009, which is this year, it's going to revert back to $100,000. Just a few tips that I wanted to share with you. This is Donna Sebo. We're coming to the weekend. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Betty Tisdale was a guest of mine today. This is a woman that's ended up having a life of adventure. She's in her middle 80s. She is so spunky and so full of life, she should be an inspiration to all of us. You can make a difference if you choose to be dedicated to something that means a lot to you. Be true to yourself, and you will find your life is going to be very rich and very full on more levels than you could ever imagine. Donna Sebo here. Take care. God bless wherever you are. We'll be back here, same time, same place, on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.